Join with me in Psalm 103 in your pew Bibles, your own Bibles, or simply in your hearing, receive with open hearts the Word of God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will He keep His anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repays us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far He removes our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear Him. For He knows how we are made. He remembers that we are dust. As for mortals, their days are like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant and remember to do His commandments. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you His angels, you mighty ones who do His bidding, obedient to His spoken word. Bless the Lord, all His hosts, His ministers that do His will. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The word of the Lord, my friends.
Thank you.
Our second lesson today, friends, is from Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, the followers of Jesus in Corinth. 2 Corinthians, beginning at verse 3 of chapter 1. Again, receive the word of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all consolation, who consoles us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to console those who are in any affliction with the consolation with which we ourselves are consoled by God. For just as the suffering of Christ are abundant, the sufferings are abundant for us, so also our consolation is abundant through Christ. If we are being afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. If we are being consoled, it is for your consolation, which you experience when you patiently endured the same sufferings that we also suffering. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that you share in our sufferings, so you also share in our consolation. We do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly, unbearably crushed that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, so that we could rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He who rescued us from so deadly a peril will continue to rescue us. On him we have set our hope that he will rescue us again, as you also join in helping us by your prayers, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of the many. My favorite holiday is coming up. That's my anniversary. I did make her right happy just now, by the way. My second favorite holiday is also just around the corner. Thanksgiving. Diwali is actually today and gets an honorable mention. I will not be with you next Sunday. I'm sorry. Because I'm taking Thanksgiving week off, I will give thanks. Not to fear, however, because Mark Flores is going to be with you and you'll be fine. You'll be in good hands. But since I'm missing next Sunday, the Sunday before my second favorite holiday, I wanted to make this week aimed in that direction. Because giving thanks is one of the most important things that we can do. We simply cannot appreciate the act of gratitude enough. In other words, we cannot be grateful enough for gratitude. It's just too good. Last week, I confessed that I would never want to have the job of U.S. president. You will never find me running for that. No matter Jack's desire for that writing campaign, it's not going to happen. But here is something worth running after. Pursue gratitude. Chase thankfulness. Run relentlessly after Thanksgiving. Pursue gratitude. Chase thankfulness. Run relentlessly after Thanksgiving. Like forgiveness last week, this week is one of the most important things to do in life. And also like forgiveness, gratitude is not always the easiest thing to do. Like forgiveness, gratitude, being grateful, is entirely in our power. No one can prevent us from being thankful. You and I can literally be grateful anytime, anywhere, and in any situation. But it is also difficult to actually be thankful sometimes. And we all know the truth of that in this day and age. While we can probably easily think of things for which we are grateful or should be grateful, we may not carry grateful spirits very often. If you are like I am, you need as many reminders as possible. Consider this a reminder. Pursue gratitude. I need to let you in on a little secret. I myself have earned nothing that I've ever achieved. But before you run me out as a fraud, let me explain. Everything that I've ever accomplished has come with the helping hands of someone else. School degrees, grades, awards, recognitions, all are marks given by someone else. Giving myself success was not an option. I have always been hired by others. This congregation had to take a vote on me being here, and I'm only allowed to stay here by the employment of others. By the way, thank you for not firing me last week. As pastors, we are supposed to stoke a little bit of fire every now and then. Challenging people is part of the job. But if you wanted to, you could press me to find employment elsewhere. Other kinds of employment are also largely dependent on being hired by others. I did not earn nor do I deserve my children, my wife, or my family. Our special people are a gift. And relationships all depend on multiple people to happen. Each day that I wake up is also a gift of grace. You could argue every breath is a gift. What have I achieved in my life that is entirely the work of my own hand? Some have built houses entirely by themselves, but they didn't grow or create all the materials or even the space suitable for a house. Farmers, whether here or elsewhere, toil endlessly by the work of their hands, but we all know they depend entirely on God's natural resources for success. Maybe some artists or some others who are self-employed may feel a measure of self-accomplishment, but the value of their work often comes from others. The success of making a living by one's own work certainly comes from others. Help me out here, friends. What am I missing? Even if I were to write my own story by myself, that story is never just about me. My story cannot exist without you, without others. And I owe what I have or what I have accomplished to so many people along the way who helped. I couldn't have done any of this by myself. And that's not a bad thing. Life is a team sport. It's a group effort. We're all in this life together, and only together can we have success. If you have any success in your life, then it is thanks to the help of others. Others along your journey believed enough in you to give you that chance, to give you that recognition, to give you that relationship, to give you that value, to give you the very day in which we stand, even life itself. Yes, God believes enough in us to give us this life, this moment, this community, and even so much more. There is great gratitude to recognize in that. It is humbling to receive such goodness in so many ways, all the many ways that we have. Chase thankfulness. The Bible is a book of abounding thankfulness. People who are nobodies become precious somebodies. The lost receive a way and hope. The childless receive children. The poor become rich. The scoundrels become princes. The lowly become kings. The dead come back to life. David's thankfulness is proclaimed in Psalm 103, in which he is overflowing with fullness in the heart of God. The people are given holidays to remember God's faithfulness. Our directions are clear, though daunting, to be thankful constantly and to give thanks in all circumstances. Oh, Jesus even gives God thanks as he presents his body broken and his blood poured at his last meal. He gave a lot of thanks throughout his life, even though he was living this hard, difficult, tortured life on the life of a human on this great dust ball of a planet. He was truly thankful to be here with us, and he would have had it no other way. I love Paul's instructions to the followers of Christ at Corinth here in this second letter to them, because he doesn't sugarcoat anything. He's adamant that we're in this life of faith together. We celebrate together. We suffer together. We're comforted together. We grieve together. We grow together. We work together. And God is the source of comfort or consolation through it all. Do not be confused, friends. Comfort here is not a comfy seat or a luxurious bedding. Consolation is not someone patting you on the back when you're feeling low. This is God's strong, passionate, helping presence. And the word for that help is connected to the word Jesus uses for the Holy Spirit. This is powerful love. This is powerful mercy. This is powerful help. God is a source of strength for us that we have only begun to truly see. As much as God has done for us, that just scratches the surface of what is coming and what is happening. Run relentlessly after thanksgiving. The strong help of God is why some people are truly grateful in the most unusual ways. I will never forget that early childhood birthday when someone brought me socks as a gift. I think it was a family member, an aunt or something. I was anything but grateful. And I'm pretty sure I even cried about it. But since then, I've grown to have a great fondness for socks. And I always ask for socks from my family. That story sparks humor and appreciation and thankfulness for how God grows us over the years. Yes, I ask for socks every year. Many others, though, have had to discover gratitude in much more serious situations with God's strong help. How many of us would be able to be grateful in poverty? Some of us are. How many of us would be grateful in illness? Some of us are. How many of us would be able to be grateful in job loss, in the middle of conflict, in the loss of loved ones, in the failure of loved ones, in the times of injustice, in the stress of elder care, in the weakness of human frailty? In truth, friends, some of us are thankful in God's strong help. Plenty of people out there learn how precious the heart of thankfulness is in truly difficult situations and are able to find spirits of gratitude in the middle of their distress, similar to as Paul described. He admits to be pressed to utter despair, and even then he found reason for gratitude because God was still with him. The God who gives life to the lifeless can hold us in love no matter what. This is important because things are always more difficult than we know. I just heard reporting about a study that showed the vast majority of Americans will at some point in their lives live near at the poverty level. For some it will be in childhood, and others after separation or during old age, in a devastating illness, after the loss of employment, or after a bad accident. Life is always harder than we want to admit. The pandemic pressed us in this way and in many others. Our hearts are heavy with division and conflict, with fear and insecurity. There are times that truly challenge our thankfulness. God's strength, however, remains and endures. Gratefulness is as gratefulness does. This is that season, isn't it? To call to mind the importance of Thanksgiving. We all know we need to remember reasons for gratitude more than once a year. If we actually carried thankful spirits in our day-to-day living, our lives would have a light that this world struggles to know or to believe. Let me be clear. Enduring thankful hearts will change us and change the world. I am mindful of Barbara and Carolyn right now, as many of you are. It has been precious to walk with them in these weeks of change. I've seen moments of sadness and grief. I've seen moments of tenderness. But what I have also seen is gratitude for having shared life together. Neither one is grateful for what is happening, but both are thankful for each other, no matter what. This is our day to be thankful in our hearts and to carry that thankfulness with us into whatever is going on in our lives. In this way, we will give God glory. Amen.